Now let's continue on in the book of Hebrews concerning the new covenant and Jesus Christ, who's the focal point of the new covenant, because it is his sacrifice, it is his life that he gave, willingly laid down for us, and it's being explained by the Apostle Paul, which is very important for us to realize, that we grasp and understand the full meaning of the new covenant, and hence will improve our understanding of taking the Passover and why that is so vital. Let's understand something very importantly, that if you do not have the Spirit of God and if you do not partake of the Passover exactly the way that Jesus said, at the time that he said, in the manner that he said, you have no life in you. Now, there are many counterfeits out there. There are many people claiming that they're ministers of Jesus Christ. But when we read the words of the New Testament and understand the meaning of them, it's entirely different than what most people think. Now let's continue on here. Let's understand something, okay? All right. Let's come down here to verse 10. You taste death for everyone. That's where we left off, verse 10. Because it was fitting for him, for whom all things were created, and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now let's stop and think about this for just a minute. God is perfect, is he not? Yes, indeed. But he is perfected even more in humbling himself and becoming a human being, taking on human nature, and suffering this death for the payment of the sins of all mankind. That perfected Christ. It also perfected his righteousness to this extent that he subjected himself to the temptations of Satan the devil and never once yielded to sinning, to Satan, or to any man. That made Christ even more perfect. And that is the perfection of the new covenant that God wants us to have as well. Now, let's continue on here. Verse 11. For both he who is sanctifying and those who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. We are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, and friends of God the Father, sons and daughters of God the Father. Think of that. Now, this is why we need to get our lives, our hearts, our minds, and everything lifted up toward God. Not be looking at ourselves, not be looking at our difficulties. We'll talk about difficulties a little later on, but now is not the time to get into those. Notice verse 12, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the church. I will sing praise to you. And again, I will be trusting him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God has given me. Now, in order for that process to happen, it's talking about us. It's talking about the fulfillment of the new covenant at the resurrection when Jesus returns. But notice verse 14, and this is what we need to grasp. There are some people who say it was impossible for Jesus to sin. No, it was improbable that he would sin, but it was possible that he could sin if he had chosen to do so. Therefore, verse 14, since the children are partakers of flesh and blood, in like manner he also took part in the same, in order that through death he might annul him who has the power of death. That is the devil. Now the King James says destroyed. That means to annul everything that Satan has done. And verse 15, and that he might deliver those who were subject to bondage all through their lives by their fear of death. That's what it is today. That's all human beings have gone through. Now notice this, verse 16. I want you to key on what this is telling us. For surely he did not take upon himself to help the angels. Now he's not redeeming the angels who have sinned. No, sir. But he is taking upon himself to help the seed of Abraham, and we are the seed of Abraham, the spiritual seed. And he took upon the same nature that we have. Verse 17. For this reason, it was obligatory, mandatory for him to be made like his brethren in everything. Now, does everything mean everything? Yes, indeed. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, in order to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Christ is there propitiating, forgiving, interceding. Every day when we go to God, we pray, God the Father, forgive us our sins. We list them out, repent of them. We're forgiven. He's making intercession for us. Now, verse 18 becomes very important for us. For because he himself, that means personally experienced the suffering, has suffered, having been tempted in like manner, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Christ is our helper. Christ is our strength. Christ is our Redeemer. Christ is our Savior. There it is, to help those. Now, let's come to Romans, the 8th chapter. Hold your place here in Romans, in Hebrews. Let's come to Romans, the 8th chapter, and let's see something very important concerning taking upon the nature of the seed of Abraham. Okay? That is human nature. And what kind of human nature? The exact same human nature that we have. Now let's understand something. Since God is going to forgive sin, and if he's going to forgive it, who is the one who gave us the law of sin and death as punishment through the sin of Adam? The one who became Jesus Christ. Is that a curse to have that kind of nature? Well, yes, it really is. It's carnal-mindedness. And it takes us away from God. Now, if God is going to redeem us from this, then as we read in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, it was obligatory that he be made in the exact sameness and likeness with the same nature as we are. Otherwise, his sacrifice would not forgive all sin, because the cause of sin is Satan the devil and the law of sin and death within us. That's why he first defeated Satan the devil and then defeated death, having been tempted like we are. So God sent him in the sameness, the likeness of sinful flesh. Now let's read it. Romans 8 and verse 3. For what was impossible for the law to do, the law cannot convert you. Only with the Spirit of God can that be done. Yes, it says the law converts the soul. That is true. But the implied meaning is it must have the Holy Spirit to do so. For what was impossible for the law to do, and that it was weak through the flesh? Because the law cannot make anyone do anything. The law only states thus and such and thus and such and thou shalt not and thou shalt, etc. So here's what God did. God, having sent his own Son in the likeness, and that is homoiomati, meaning the exact sameness of sinful flesh. Now, the Greek there is very interesting. Of the flesh of sin, sinful flesh, in the exact sameness, likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Because in order for sin to be condemned, Jesus had to live a perfect life, though he carried the law of sin and death within him, just like all of us do. And we'll see in just a little bit that that's why he was able to be tempted in all points like we are, yet he was without sin. And this is the whole purpose and focus of the new covenant. This is why he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, and drink this, because this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins of many. All right? In the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, to condemn sin in the flesh. Now, you can't have any more of a perfect sacrifice than that, can you? The Creator of all mankind, taking upon himself the very curse that he gave mankind through Adam and Eve with the law of sin and death, and take it upon himself, and to show that with the Spirit of God, he could overcome every temptation. He could never sin because he chose not to sin. Now, likewise, that sets a standard for us too, doesn't it? All right, let's come to Hebrews, the 4th chapter now, and let's see where it talks about this and about how that is for us and our coming to the throne of God. Because remember, Jesus was the forerunner that came into the Holy of Holies for us. All right, back to Hebrews 4. Now let's pick it up here in verse 12. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful. Now let me tell you something very important here. When we read the words that are printed on the paper, now some people like to read it on their computer, that's fine. Nothing wrong with it, but I guarantee you, you do not have exactly the same impact as when you read the printed word. And with the Bible, you don't need electricity, you don't need a battery. But anyway, we provided digital copies for people who want them and need them, and that will help them in their study. But we want also everyone to have a literal Bible, the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version, because we have corrected all the mistakes of the King James Version of the Bible. Now, that's another whole topic, so we won't get off onto that. Okay. For the Word of God is living. Jesus said they are spirit and they are life, and they are understood spiritually. And you must have the Spirit of God in you to fully grasp the Word of God. For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of both the soul and spirit and both the joints and marrow, and is able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, isn't that something? It exposes human nature like nothing that anyone else has written, not to be comparable with anything. So God knows our thoughts, God knows our hearts, God knows our intention, and that's why God is there with his Spirit to forgive us, to lead us, to correct us, to upbuild us, because we are in a superior covenant. Now, we'll see this as we go along. This is important to grasp before we come to the Passover on Sunday night and take the Passover. So it's able to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is not a created thing that is not manifested in his sight, but all things are naked and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Now, rather than be fearful, rather than be trepidatious, rather than be worried and wrought with anxiety, we need to come to God, trusting in him, in faith, in hope, in love, in confidence. Notice, verse 14, having therefore a great high priest, not like the priest at the temple, no, but one who is our heavenly high priest, see, who has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, we should hold fast the confession of our faith. For we do not have a high priest who cannot empathize with our weaknesses. He knows. He had the pulls of the flesh, but never gave in. He had the temptations of Satan the devil, but never gave in. He always chose what was right. He always did what was right. He always yielded to God, though he was tempted in every single way. Let's read it. But was one who was tempted in all things according to the likeness of our own temptations, yet he was without sin. Therefore, now what should this do for us? Here it is right here. How do we come to God? In thankfulness and joyfulness and gratefulness, in humility, in love. Right here. Therefore, we should come with boldness to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's why it's every day, every day, every day. This is a fantastic covenant that we are in, brethren, which we are going to see is called a superior covenant, greater than the covenant that was made with the children of Israel, but a superior covenant. So isn't that something? Come over here to chapter 5. Let's see about Christ. Let's see about what these temptations and things and suffering and being beaten and scourged, having the flesh ripped right off of him, what it did to him. Verse 5, Hebrews 5. In the same manner also, Christ did not glorify himself to become a high priest, but he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," even as he also says in another place, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." A never-ending priesthood. That is superior. Because the covenant with Israel had priests who died, subject to sin. They had to offer sacrifices for their own sins as well as the sins of others. Now notice how he responded. Notice how Christ had to be perfected with prayers and supplication and yielding to God to overcome the pulls of human nature so he would not sin. Verse 7, who in the days of his flesh offered up both prayers and supplication with strong cryings and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because he feared God. That's quite a thing, isn't it? That's how we need to come to God. That's how we need to yield to him. Need to understand that. Yes. Notice what it did. Although he was his son, yet learned he obedience from the things that he suffered. Now, likewise for us. Whatever things we suffer, those are so that we learn the spiritual obedience to God the Father and Jesus Christ in all things. Now, that's something for us to really know and understand and remember. See? He learned obedience from the things that he suffered and having been perfected. Now, that's an amazing statement, isn't it? God was perfected through the process of becoming a human being so that he could become the perfect sacrifice. Amazing, isn't it? And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. There it is. That's the word that people don't like, to obey. Obey God. Love him and serve him. That's the reason that he came, see? All right. Now let's come over here to chapter 7. Chapter 7. Let's pick it up here in verse 19. Hebrews 7 and verse 19. See, it is the perfection that God wants. Christ was perfected. We are being perfected. Isn't that something? God is the potter, we are the clay. He is molding us. He is helping us grow and develop in character to have the mind of Christ. So here we have right here. All right, let's pick it up, chapter 9 and verse 19. Because the law brought nothing to perfection, because it couldn't change human nature, and it couldn't give eternal life. Rather, perfection is brought about by a superior hope, not just a land to live in, but an eternal kingdom and living in New Jerusalem forever, a superior hope. You see, that's why all the things on the earth we can count as nothing. We don't look at them as anything for us. What glory is there in it? It's all going to be changed. We're looking for the eternal glory that comes from God the Father and Jesus Christ. Okay? Superior hope through which we draw near to God. And according to this superior measure, it was not without the swearing of an oath that he was made a priest. For those who descend from Aaron are made priests without the swearing of the oath. They just had to be born of the lineage of Aaron. But he was made a priest with the swearing of an oath by him who says concerning him. Now remember, God does not need to swear by an oath. And when he does, that is to absolutely know the immutability that it's going to happen. No variance at all that it is in doubt. And this is what he said concerning him. The Lord swore and will not revoke correction. The Lord swore and will not revoke his word. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. By such a greater measure then, Jesus was made the guarantor of a superior covenant. Now we have a study in the back of the Bible, the comparison of the old and the new covenant. And you will see the covenant given to Israel was a covenant of physical blessings and physical promises to live in a physical land. All of them have been upgraded and superseded by spiritual blessings, the Spirit of God, the spiritual rewards, resurrection from the dead, and eternal life living in the kingdom of God. That is a superior covenant. That is a superior resurrection. Okay, let's come over here to chapter 8 and verse 6. It explains a little more concerning this, brother. See, because in understanding this, the way that we need to understand it gives us great hope and great anticipation. And with that, it gives us faith, and it gives us love, and it gives us spiritual strength. And through the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the way of God, we are strengthened for the days that are ahead of us, which are going to be difficult indeed. But remember, God says he will deliver us from all. So we need that confidence, and we need that hope, and we need that strength that comes from God, and it is through the superior new covenant. Okay? Now, after he compares with what was given to Moses and so forth. Let's come here to verse 1. Now, here is a summary of the things being discussed. We have such a high priest who sat down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and true tabernacle which God set up and not man. Then he talks about what was given to Moses and the physical representation of the heavenly things, etc. Now come down here to verse 6. But on the other hand, he, that is Jesus, has obtained a supremely more excellent ministry, as much greater as the superior covenant of which he is also mediator, which was established upon superior promises. I want you to really grasp and understand the word superior. There is nothing comparable to it. See? That's why we need to always look to Christ. And as Paul wrote in Hebrews 12, keep our eyes focused on him, not on the things around us, not on the difficulties that are there. Okay? Now, superior covenant established upon superior promises. Verse 7, for if the first covenant had been faultless, then no provision for a second covenant would have been made. But as we have seen, there were the prophecies of the covenant to come. And yet the world has ignored it. The Jews have ignored it. The Christians have rejected it. The Jews have rejected Christ. What a state of affairs that is, isn't it? Yes, indeed. But since he found fault with them, because of their sins and no Holy Spirit and unwillingness to obey. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took hold of their hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. So here is the solution to the problem. A new covenant which will change their hearts and their minds to yield to God. And that's what the new covenant is all about. And that's why we keep the Passover. And that's why we keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Pentecost and Trumpets and Atonement and Tabernacles and the Last Great Day. Brethren, those are the dividing lines with the Spirit of God that separates us from the world, that puts us on God's side rather than on the world's side, with a false Christianity, with a false covenant, with a false hope. We have the real spiritual covenant that comes from God. Notice verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will establish with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will give my laws into their minds, and I will inscribe them upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's what it is. We are the people of God. We are the seed of Abraham. We are under the new covenant. We are under the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been given direct access to God the Father and Jesus Christ in heaven above. That's the whole purpose of the new covenant. That's why Christ came and died the death that he did, because of the vileness and the viciousness of human nature. And that's why he had to take on human nature, so that he could overcome every temptation, that he would not sin, that he would be the perfect sacrifice for us, and the sins of all mankind. That's why, brethren, it's so important to grasp and understand the things concerning the holy days. And every year, yes, we go back through these things every year, but also every year we learn more. We understand more. We're drawn closer to God because of it. And our lives are then spiritually motivated, where we cry out, Abba, Father, because we have the sonship of God. Go back and go over those sermons that I did concerning the sonship of God. All right? Let's come to now Hebrews, the 9th chapter. Hebrews 9. Let's look at verse 11 and 12. A comparison. You go look at that appendix that we have, comparison of Old Covenant and New Covenant. You'll see the difference. But Christ himself, verse 11, Hebrews 9, has become high priest of the coming good things through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, the Holy of Holies in heaven above, not made by human hands, that is, not of the present physical creation, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood. He has entered once for all into the holiest, where God the Father sits on his throne in his glory, having by himself secured everlasting redemption for us. Now that is something. That is tremendous for us to understand. Now, let's come over here to verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy place made by human hands, that is the temple on the earth, Rather, he has entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us, on our behalf. Now look, we need to understand this. In spite of whatever difficulty we go through, in spite of whatever burden that we bear, God loves us and is for us. Don't ever think because you're going through a test or a difficulty that God is against you. He is not. He is perfecting you. He wants you to be perfected. He wants you to be ready for the resurrection to eternal life. He wants you to fulfill the new covenant through Jesus Christ. That's what we need to understand as we come to take the Passover Sunday night. It is the greatest, most important, most profound thing that we do in our calling and our lives, and that God has called us out of this world and given us of his Holy Spirit and given us of his love and given us of his word and given to us the understanding through his Holy Spirit. And to have that access direct to God the Father and Jesus Christ. Brethren, that is so absolutely marvelous and tremendous. We need to really grasp on that and think about it. Now, we've got one more day before the Passover. So let's dwell on these things. Let's now finish off by coming to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and then a couple of other scriptures, okay? Now, after saying verse 4, because it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. No, they were just justified to the temple. Now, that's another whole topic. We won't get into that. Verse 5. For this reason, when he comes into the world, that is Christ, he says to God the Father, sacrifice and offerings you do not desire, but you have prepared a body for me. You did not delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins. Then I said, lo, I come, as it's written in of me in the scroll of the book. Now that's the book of the covenant between God the Father and Jesus Christ. Now, in the series that we have in Hebrews, that's number 27. To do your will, O God. That's what God wants. He doesn't want the animal sacrifices. He doesn't want the physical things. He wants you to do his will in faith, in hope, and in love. Verse 8. And in the saying above, he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, which are according to the law, you did not desire nor delight in. That was only temporary, see? What he wants is a broken heart, a contrite spirit. What he wants is a repentant heart and crying out to God for his love, his spirit, his hope, and his truth, you see. Verse 9, then he said, lo, I come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first covenant in order that he may establish the second covenant, by whose will we are sanctified. Think of that. You are here because of the will of God. I am here because of the will of God. All the people that belong to God the Father and Jesus Christ are his because of his will and his desire and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his shed blood. Now, that's something. Yes, by whose will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. Now, that's something we need to understand and realize, brother. All right, let's come on down here to verse 14. For by one sacrifice he has obtained eternal perfection, because we have that sacrifice applied to us every day. We're being perfected every day, every day, every Passover, every Feast of Unleavened Bread, every Pentecost, every trumpets, every atonement, every prayer. We are being perfected, and as we've seen through the sermons that we have given, by the washing of the water, by the word, to sanctify us, to make us holy. Isn't that fantastic, brethren? Yes, this physical body is going to get old and shrivel up and die. We're going to yield up the spirit. That goes back to God to be preserved for the resurrection. And we go back to the ground. Dust we are, and to dust we shall return. And then the next waking moment will be the resurrection. Now think of that. All right. That's why he did it. But here's what he wants to happen for us. And the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had previously said, "This is the covenant that I will establish with them after those days, says the Lord. I will give my laws into their hearts, and I will inscribe them into their minds, and their sins and lawlessness I will not remember ever again." Think of that. All of it wiped away, perfected. Verse 18. "Now, where remission of these is, it is no longer necessary to offer sacrifices for sin. Therefore, brethren, having confidence to enter into the true holiest by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way," the new covenant, "the bread and the wine of the new covenant, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And having a great high priest over the house of God, let us approach God with a true heart, with full conviction of faith, our hearts having been purified from a wicked conscience and our bodies having been washed with pure water," that is baptism. "Let us hold fast without wavering to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Now, brethren, as we go to the Passover tomorrow night, let's keep this in mind. And let's keep in mind the faith, the hope, and the love, the mercy, the kindness, the goodness of God, and that we have entered into a relationship of sonship with God unto eternal life. And that's why he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. And take, drink, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins of many." Have a wonderful Passover, meaningful and spiritual. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.